estate agent to take care of that process for you while you go out there and continue to fill your pipelines with other types of deals. They make 2.5%. All right. What's going on? This is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro. So, this question came in, and the question is this. A lady owes $124,000, about PITI, that's basically the payment, insurance, taxes, interest, about $250 per month, which is not bad, but she's owing money. She's owing $124,000 in total, and the property is going for foreclosure. She gets a social security check of about $895. Basically, she has to make a living and she can't afford the house. And this particular person is trying to figure out what to do with the property. That's an awesome question, okay? Basically, I need a little bit more information, but I'm gonna guess a few things. I'm gonna give you a few scenarios that may work out depending on your particular situation, okay? So the first thing you wanna do is you wanna make sure that you do have a seller, okay? That's the first step, okay? Because sometimes they'll tell you all of this information and it's basically what are you supposed to do with that, right? But they're just looking for you to tell them how to help them without taking away the house. You wanna make sure you have a seller. Are they willing to get rid of the property? If they say yes, then it's a go, okay? All right? Number two thing you want to do is you want to make sure they are, in fact, a motivated seller. Your business as a real estate wholesaler is to find motivated sellers. Not to find sellers, to find motivated sellers, okay? Sometimes a seller, you may be able to find, if you're licensed, you may be able to do something with them if they agree to lease their property. But typically, when it comes to real estate wholesaling, you're looking for a motivated seller. So how do you know if they're a motivated seller? Well, this next steps is basically you have to push two documents in front of them, right? Obviously, you would have made an appointment with them and you've seen the house. You just notice, make sure the house is livable. If it's not a livable house, maybe it's a gutted work or something like that, you could still do some deals, but you know, it's a little bit different. But you're dealing with a livable house that a person is living in, you know, and obviously this house is one of them, right? So you've seen the house, it's a real house, you push two documents in front of them, and one of the documents is authorization to release, okay? And the second document is a sales contract, okay? Authorization to release means they allow you to talk to their lien holder. So whoever is this person that has a reverse mortgage on the house, you want to be able to talk to them, but the bank will not talk to you unless you've gotten authorization from the owner to talk to you about the loan in question, okay? The mortgage loan in question, all right? So the second document, which is a sales contract, is that you gotta make sure they're willing to sell. You know, what's the point of talking to them if they're not willing to get rid of the property? So that's what the second document is about. It's designed so you can talk to them, so you can make sure you're talking to a motivated seller. So two documents, let me repeat them. Authorization to release, and the second document is a sales contract. So I typically have those two documents, okay? There may be other documents that you need throughout the process of a short sale, because I'm gonna assume here that the property is not worth $124,000. How much is owed on it? If the property is worth $124,000 or more, then there's equity in the property, but you need that to be significantly more. Okay, that means there's space for you to make some profit when you just buy the property for what they're owing on it, okay? So one of the questions you should be asking your sellers to determine if they're motivated is to ask them, hey, are you willing to sell it for what you owe on the property? Because the reason why they're approaching is because they owe money, right? So they are in a dicey situation and they have to make a decision to get rid of a property that's become a liability for them, right? So basically you want to say, hey, are you willing to sell the property for what you owe on it? So they owe $124,000. Are you willing to sell the property for $124,000? That's a yes or no. If they say yes, they're motivated. If they say no, then you have a little bit more work to do when it comes to selling them on motivation, which I don't engage in. I don't like the idea of selling people on motivation. I'll rather go work hard and make sure my pipeline is full so I can extract all the motivated seller out of that pipeline. Because typically when you have to sell a person on motivation, then it becomes a dicey situation where people say you're taking advantage of them. You're using sales tactics to convince them to sell you their house for less than what they feel is worth, okay? It's an energy draining activity. I don't like it. Most people don't like it. If you're really one of the few people in the world that are self-proclaimed salespeople, maybe you can find a way to do that. But I'd rather not engage in that, and I recommend don't do that, because there are skills you can learn how here on how to market where you never have to do such crazy activity. Am I making sense? So that's one thing I want you to note, okay? So I don't try to sell people on getting motivated. I talk to motivated sellers already, period. And how? Because I market enough to attract enough motivated sellers. And this could be any type of business, okay? I talk to people that are motivated to get the need that I bring to the table, okay? Motivated to be served by me because they deem me valuable, right? So that's how I do that. And if I don't have enough in my pipeline, I keep creating content until I attract the enough buyer. Either create content or spend money. I'd rather do a hybrid of both, because marketing can cost a lot of money, okay? So if you have a hybrid, at least you have content creation offsetting the cost of marketing, and that's how I like to do it. So back to the question. So you get those two documents, right? The authorization to release and the sales contract at the price that you want the house for. So if you understand the rules of real estate wholesaling, nothing changes. Okay, nothing really changes except that you now have to work with the bank. Okay, they owe $124,000, and you want to make sure that there's equity or there's no equity. If there's negative equity, you got to talk to the bank. If there's equity in the property, let's say the property they owe $124,000, let's say the property is worth $200,000, then you don't need to go to the bank. The only thing you're going to be doing with a bank is going to be done by a title company, which is pulling the payoff, see how much they're owing at the point of closing, because you're going to pay the bank off. If there's no equity, that means the property is worth less than $124,000, then you have to talk to the bank. That's when you need that second document, which is authorization to release. And then you will have to negotiate what you call a short sale. A short sale is it's a very nice way to make money from pre-foreclosures, from houses that are underwater. Underwater means the property, they owe too much on the property. They owe $124,000. Property is worth $80,000, okay? So nobody in their right mind is going to pay $124,000 for a house that's worth $80,000. In which case, you need to go to the bank and say, hey, this property is worth $80,000. In which case, you should only be willing to pay 65% of that $80,000, not even of $124,000, of that $80,000. So the bank will start the process. They may tell you they need a couple more documents. It's your responsibility to take those documents and get them signed, or get your realtor. So some banks will insist that you need a realtor, a real estate agent, to facilitate the process. So in that case, you're going to need a realtor to help you with that, to facilitate. Plus, you are in this business to do deals fast, not to sit down with short sales and be processing it. So get a realtor who is willing to collect 2.5%, 3%, and let them find a short sale specialized realtor, real estate agent, to take care of that process for you while you go out there and continue to fill your pipelines with other types of deals. They make 2.5%. You get the property from them when they do decide how much the bank wants, right? How does the bank determine how much they want? They use something, they send out a person to the property. That's typically when I get to see the property personally. I don't try to see the property before that. I don't care what the property looks like. I use the data that I see on the internet, on the MLS and things like that to put an offer in. And then of course, subject to a certified appraiser, subject to how much repairs the house needs. But when the bank sends somebody out, that's when I go meet that person as well. And that's when I do a quick estimate of what I think the property needs in terms of repairs. But however, my contract was always subject to how much repairs, no more than $5,000. That's what I always do. All right, so once the bank comes back with how much they think the property is worth, then we'll do a quick negotiation. So if the bank wants more than my maximum allowable offer, which is 65% of ARV minus repair cost, if the bank wants more than that, it's not the end of the road. Doesn't mean it's not a deal, but in that case, I would need to be able to assign the contract to, maybe the word is not assigned, but at the very minimum, be able to get an end buyer who is not a sophisticated investor, cash investor. Sophisticated cash investor will need the deal to be under 65%. But if you build your own buyers list, there's going to be people on your list, if you build your buyers list, that wouldn't mind paying 80% of the price to the value, right? They wouldn't mind paying 90%. They don't mind just getting help with their closing cost, right? So it's still going to be a good deal for certain type of people, maybe not a good deal for cash investors. In which case, you need, again, like I said, if you're building your own buyers list, that should be easy. If you're building your network of real estate agents and things like that around you, which is part of the business, which is something I teach heavily in smart real estate wholesaling, you need to build your network. You need to build your list. You know, you need to do data collection. You know, that's a big old chapter instead of smart real estate wholesaling. That's why I recommend that you read the book 10 to 15 times. 10 to 15 times. We can't walk around that, okay? So if you're building that list, then an exit strategy for a deal where the bank is asking for more and they say no, we don't, then you can still do a deal. You can still make $20,000, $30,000 doing a deal that way when you have the right network around you of buyers, sellers, and of course other professionals, including other real estate wholesalers, you know, around you. So that's basically the steps. Bottom line is that you need those two documents, okay? If there's equity in the property, you only need one of those documents. If there are no equity in the property, you need a second document, which is a release, authorization to release, so the bank can talk to you. Sometimes the bank will say, we have our own document, we need you to sign. All you have to do is say, get them faxed to me and I'll get them signed. Signing all of these documents is the easiest thing in the world when you have a motivated seller. If you have a non-motivated seller, they wouldn't sign it. That's a very easy way for you to know if you have a motivated seller or not. So hopefully that was helpful, okay? If you want more information, then definitely you want to go get the book, Smart Real Estate Wholesaling. It's free. If you join my newsletter, just go to smartrealestatewholesaling.com. That's where you want to go and find the information about the book. And I'll see you on the next one. And peace.